When I close my Sunday school class each week, I teach adults, and most of the people in the class are older folk. Many of them are in their 70s and 80s. I always pray for the service that we are about to enter, and for the freedom and liberty of the one who's preaching, and a number of other similar things like that. And I also always pray for the stranger that God may bring into our midst by divine appointment. And I say words like this, that as that person comes, that the presence of Christ within each of us and the love that flows between us will be irresistible to this person, and that he will be irresistible, or she will be irresistibly drawn to the Savior. I had one of my dear saints come up to me a while ago and say, "You pray that way every Sunday for this business about this love flowing between us. Do you think that really? Do you think we're like that? Do you think we really have the love of Jesus flowing between us?" And I said, "Well, I'm not going to judge that, but I'm going to say that's the way it would be if Jesus were present, and he said that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. So I'm going to be presumptuous enough to say that." With Christ's presence here, his love is going to flow between us. What you're talking about is the reality of that. Mine is a prayer of hopeful expectation.
But it's beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful.
But yours is the reality, and that's what we have in times of revival. All of this makes great sense to me, and I see here that we have time for one more revival characteristic, or a characteristic that would mark the church if Jesus were bodily present for an extended period of time. So how about it?
Well, I'll just read a real fast quote here from Edwards, and then I'll go to that last one and tie it to our preaching element. During the Great Awakening, 1735, which is the earliest widespread revival in the United States, Jonathan Edwards, who was a pastor and one of the key leaders, he wrote, "The town seemed to be full of the presence of God. It was never so full of love, nor so full of joy, and yet so full of distress." And he wrote that because there were people who were uncomfortable with this closeness of God as it was then. Well, again, it's that sense that this was an amazing time when God was present with us. So let me take one other characteristic, and that would be the preaching time. If you are teaching your Sunday school class, or you're in the pulpit, because I know as a layman you oftentimes will preach, or if I'm preaching and I say something and then someone says amen and I look down and it's Jesus who said amen, can you imagine how that's going to ripple through the congregation?
That would be something.
Yeah, so there is this incredible weight of the scriptures, W-I-G-H-T, weight that the scriptures have when Jesus is present. And the preaching takes on a whole new sense of authority, which it doesn't have a lot of times now. Some people are exceptions, and there's no question there's an authority to what they say. And those are phenomenal preachers. But I'm talking generally speaking across the boards in the United States. In the average congregation, you need Jesus there to say amen. And that's one of the things that happens during times of revival. And those preachers are they don't wing it when there's revival. Sometimes they're so tired because there have been so many people to lead to the Lord and so many people to follow up that they don't know what to do. So they go back and they preach old sermons that they preached maybe 5 years earlier because they still have the notes. And those sermons were dead as doorknobs. And now they preach them and all of a sudden it's like they're filled with life. Why? Because Jesus is present. Mm-hmm. And we lack that sense of the presence of the Lord in terms of our preaching. I know that I, as a regular habit, I will say, "Lord, I got this all put together now. Is this what you want me to say?" And I pray that every time before I preach. And sometimes he'll say, "You're not being loving enough," or sometimes, "You're watering down. You need to make it stronger than that. These people are not hearing," you know. So I'm doing that to the best of my ability as a servant of Jesus. But during the time when there is revival, you have this sense that when the man or woman stands up to open the word, there is a tremendous a weight on them to get Jesus to say amen, you know, because you don't want to say things that he's not going to be pleased about. So you're taking your role very seriously. You're making extremely clear what he wants said because you're having to be the stand-in for him. But preaching is elevated to a whole new height when there is revival time, and it has a power that I think is lacking right now. And so you asked me last time if I thought we'd know another revival in this land, and I was a little bit dubious about that. If the pulpit came alive, it would be amazing. In fact, the only hope for this country, in my own mind, in the ultimate sense, is that the pulpit comes alive and that ministers preach with this awareness, even if the congregation doesn't know it yet, that Jesus is there, and I have to account to him, and lives are in the balance on this. And I think we lack that right now. I think it's almost like I got to get another sermon together for next week, and boy, it seems like Sunday is every other day, you know. I wonder how long till retirement comes, and that's extremely critical. I don't mean to be that way. And again, I'm talking generally speaking, but there isn't that urgency that revival times manifest when God is present.
Well, I'm certain I can imagine what we're going to talk about our next time together on the podcast. We'll have more to talk about on this subject of revival, and we certainly invite you to come back and join us. This is the SermonCoach.com podcast with Dr. David Maines. And we invite you, as we always do, to visit our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there to help pastors develop effective, life-transforming sermons. We invite you to come back and be with us the next time we meet.